Please turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse number 28. Proverbs. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's all right. Grab you one out of the pew rack and open it up. Proverbs is just to the right of dead center. Psalm 118 is the dead center of the Bible. Psalm 118:8 is the dead center of the Bible. And in the middle of that verse, the word the Lord is the exact dead center, word for word, letter by letter. I know, trivia. I love trivia. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 28. The Lord has blessed. I have been working on this sermon for months and months and months and months, and it's just one of those things I wanted to preach, and the Lord's like, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. And so here you go. Proverbs 22 and verse number 28. If you found it, please say amen. Let's read it together, please. Proverbs 22, 28. Remove not the aim. That there are no boundaries in Christianity. That if you were to purport that they are, you are somehow a legalist who is trying to control everybody and get them back to the Amish stage of life or whatever, back into to the Stone Age. No, no. It's crazy to think that an almighty God who is holy would not have boundaries or at least lines we're supposed to follow. You know, my wife has a tendency to remind me that VDOT painted those lines on the road for a reason. You know, I have a tendency to cross those lines from time to time. The word trespass means that I was dead in my trespasses. I had crossed a line. That's what trespassing means. So when it says, remove not the ancient landmarks, that our forefathers, that God had spoken by the prophets and then by his son and then spoke through the apostles, he laid down landmarks so we would know where the boundary is. Or doing dumb things or being lazy or being late or not having your junk done. And they, so you know what? Hey, we're just going to have to make some cuts here. And we'll call you if we need you. That was because you didn't perform as well as they were expected or outperform those around you. And you felt the repercussion of it. God is a God of order. His universe speaks volumes about the God that created it. Our God is a God of order. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 13. When I talked about living, you know, well, I'm just a free spirit, listen to what Galatians 5 and verse 13, how God characterizes that attitude. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, that's how you train children. You can have all the things you want, just that's mama's pretty, don't touch it. You want to house-proof the kid, not kid-proof the house. That's what God wanted. He wanted to garden-proof the kid. Not kid-proof the garden. And see, the thing is, the devil has a nasty tendency to say, well, you just go ahead and take that. You just go on it. Whatever's on that boundary, God's got it for you. It's yours. You can have it. Yeah, but not, you're not ready. And then there are some boundaries where God's like, I never intended you to have that. We're going to look at some of that in just a minute. But let's not change. Take your Bible, go to the book of Isaiah. It's to the right of Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. What do you mean by the final authority, Brother Mix? I mean that everything else in life needs to be compared to Scripture because it is the Scriptures that are true. Everything else is going to be judged according to how it lines up with Scripture. People say to me, I'm looking for a, we enjoyed visiting your church, Brother Mix, but we're looking for a church that fits us. How about you find a church that fits the Bible, huh? Or excuse me, that follows the Bible, it's close to the Bible. This is the mind of God put into the words of men. It's probably not going to have words in it that you're going to use at the gas station or the grocery store. It's probably not going to sound like things you would write on the internet because it's the mind of God put into the thoughts of, or into the words of men. Take your Bible, you're in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And I'm not here to badmouth anybody or to get on your case about stuff. I just want to tell you the truth tonight. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, the Bible reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," and you call it hate speech, we've lost the landmark. We've lost it. Now, the Bible's its own best commentary. I'll get off my sermon box, back on my sermon. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that the Bible's its own best commentary. Study, interpret that which doesn't make sense in light of that which does. Because it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets," 1 Corinthians 14:32. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "I'm your enemy because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you." They are excited to tell you you're the one who's wrong, but not well. "Yea, they would exclude you." You know how many websites out there that call a church that is a King James only church a cult? Man, you'd be shocked. The things they say about us. "They would exclude you that ye might affect them." They don't want to be affected by you. Levi is having a wonderful time down at Pensacola Christian College defending the King James. Just having a blast. And you know what the side benefit is? All these girls flock around and want to hear. Nothing is cuter than a boy who knows his Bible, I guess, at Pensacola Christian College. Amen. Isn't that crazy? We cannot change the landmark of Scripture, because when we do, we end up changing the landmark of salvation. Baptismal regeneration is taught in churches in our area, that it's part of salvation. How do they do that? Well, when Acts 8:37 isn't in your Bible, you can do that quite easily. Did you know repentance is necessary for salvation? That you must repent. You go to work with people who say they're Christian, but they don't evidence anything that's Christian. They don't want anything that's Christian. They don't desire it. They don't talk about it. They don't have time for it. Acts 20:21 says, "Testifying both to Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God." You know, repentance is not a Baptist thing. Repentance is a Bible thing. But we want to skip that when we talk to our friends, because we're afraid our friends and family are going to get offended. You know, it wasn't until I was positively sure I was lost that I actually got saved. The night I got saved, I was positively, surely lost, and I knew it. I knew it. To God. Acts 17:30. Listen to what the Bible reads in Acts 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. The Bible reads, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." No one gets to heaven without repenting. No one. No one gets saved without it. This isn't a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. Do you know what the easiest way to explain repentance? It's turning to God in sorrow over our sin. To be sorrowful. I remember that night. I remember how I felt. I remember not only did I realize I was lost, I was sorry about it. I felt bad that I had put Jesus on that cross. It was my fault. I understood completely what was going on the night I got saved. I knew, and I called upon him, and I confessed to receive you. Separation means to turn from the things of this world unto God. It's not just no, don't, and stop. It's turning from no, don't, and stop to yes, let's do it, let's go. You know, I'm yours. It's turning all the way to God and going, I'm yours. And being our children. But more so than that, The standards of separation transfer Bible principles from parent to child. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. By living God's standards, we are transferring to our kids the truth of God's word. Look at Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says that this may be a sign among you that when your children, now they, what they did was they passed over Jordan, they picked up 12 big stones and they made a heap of stones. That this may be a sign unto you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan day as their descendants, I'm calling you my king and my God. Why do we live the standards of separation? Because it transfers the Bible truths from parent to child. If we learn anything from Kings and Chronicles, the tragedy of the second and third generation of believers is the first generation was red hot. The second generation did it just because it's what they did. The third generation disdained it. And the fourth generation was burned in the fire to a false god because they didn't see it in their parents. You and I are the professors of God's oaths. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn to him, recognizing your sin and being sorry, admitting to him, I'm turning from it to you, O God. I know you died for me. You're saved and you know it. We spend so much time staring into a little black screen, seeing what our friends and family and coworkers and favorite political parties are doing and saying, our favorite news outlets, our favorite gossip. How much time do we spend in just quiet time, face to face with our Savior in his word?